Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, August 25th, 2011. What crazy times. The earthquake this week in the east, and now Hurricane Irene right now on a path for perhaps Long Island, Atlantic City, the Boston area. So if you have travel plans for the East Coast this weekend, it might be prudent to perhaps delay those plans or make a change. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends listening up in Gila County in Globe. They're listening to us on KJAA AM 1240. Our friends in Cochise County, they listen on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, thanks to our new agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Our friend, the publisher over there, Dylan Smith, who will be with us tomorrow on our Friday roundtable. Dylan does an excellent job with TucsonSentinel.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to one. The lineup for today's show, we're going to begin with a very frank discussion about Tucson's economic conditions with the head of the Tucson Urban League, an organization that has been serving Tucson and Southern Arizona for 40 years. At the bottom of the hour, a wide-ranging conversation about immigration issues with the founder of Humane Borders, Dr. Robin Hoover. The Buckmaster Show, yes, it's an interview-driven talk show, but you're also encouraged to be part of the dialogue and part of the conversation. We hope you will join in today by calling the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, and we've been getting some very good ones lately, folks saying, I would like you to interview a particular guest, that's what we want to hear. Let us know. My producer, Rosemary Brandt, and I will take a look at it, and perhaps we will get that individual on the Buckmaster Show for you. Again, 790-2040. The Tucson Urban League is celebrating its 40th anniversary in Tucson this year. The Urban League itself is over 100 years old. The league is launching its I Am Empowered Tucson campaign. Jonathan Peck is the president, CEO of the Tucson Urban League. Jonathan is with me in studio. The league's mission is to assist and empower neighborhoods, communities, families, and individuals to secure economic self-reliance and to coexist in an integrated and pluralistic society. Jonathan, did I get that right?
I think so. I mean, if we add any more words, it might become a thesis.
You know, this is really good timing to have you on the Buckmaster Show to talk about economic conditions in Tucson. The Bureau of Labor Statistics at the U.S. Labor Department just put out some information about Tucson workers who earn on average 5% less than the national average. You've been in Tucson now about a year and a half. Does that surprise you at all, Jonathan?
I think, yes, I want to say thank you for having me and welcome to everybody. Yes, it does surprise me. I think a lot of things surprised me coming here to Tucson from Chicago. And I think that all of us out here are working to address these economic condition issues that are impacting everything. And I think our overall mission of the Urban League is to really look at the connections of the different issues that impact each other. Obviously, clearly, we're really focused on jobs. We have an incredible jobs program going on in the Tucson Urban League. We just had over 200-plus youth going through a summer jobs program. And so we have incredible services and programs at the league that address a multifaceted issues that families are addressing.
I'm going to follow up on something I just heard you say. You said that a lot of things surprised you coming out to Tucson from the Chicago area. You were in the Chicago area in the inner city. I think you were on the south side. Mm-hmm. And you were working there for how many years in Chicago?
About 17 years.
My hometown. 17 years in Chicago. What surprised you about Tucson? Some of the major surprises.
I will say the inequity. When I first got here, I was given a tour by staff of the different neighborhoods that the Urban League serves, and I will say it did kind of reel me back a little bit in terms of the level of poverty and inequity that exists within the Tucson area, and then obviously visiting other areas of the city where there's clearly some very affluent areas of the city. So that really did shock me in terms of the rural inequities. I think also the level of the heat.
beside the heat, that's something
that
does take
away.
A little bit getting used to coming out from the Chicago area. It takes a while, especially your last 2010 was your first summer.
Absolutely.
So you're finishing up your second summer. How about change in Tucson? Is it difficult to get change?
I think that at some level it is difficult, and I think that part of the initial discussion about change is, I think, leadership and people. We need to open up communication. We need to really have some hard discussions among ourselves about how to work closer together, how to build the partnerships and relationships and the framework so that the people that need the help the most can get it. And I think that's what we're focused on at the Urban League with our partners, is to say, what can we do? How do we create proactive solutions to the issues people are facing, from basic critical needs to utility assistance to childcare to jobs, workforce development, to educational needs, to housing needs, all those areas we're looking at. In addition to that, that's been the footprint of the Tucson Urban League for 40 years. It's actually our 41st year. But that's been the footprint for the last 40 years. In addition to that, we have a national mandate as well as a local mandate to reinvigorate our civil rights mission.
I didn't realize the Tucson Urban League predates the NAACP.
It's the oldest modern-day civil rights institution in the country. There's approximately 100 affiliates, with the National Urban League headquarters in New York being the 101st affiliate. And it's been around for 100 years. We just celebrated our centennial last year. And, you know, the whole footprint has been an economic footprint. It's been a social footprint. It's been
born out of an economic necessity?
It was
then?
Born in the 1900s, mm-hmm. out of economic necessities. As you look at the history of the early 1900s, a lot was going on both politically, socially, and economically. And the Urban League was part of a larger movement. We were the economic wing of the civil rights movement. And so there were different roles and responsibilities that were being established for institutions across the country. And the Urban League was born out of three specific movements, grassroots movements, in the East Coast. And they were focused primarily on economic self-reliance, economic conditions, and social conditions. And part of that aspect has been the civil rights. And if you look at the history of the Urban League, it's been a very strong part of the civil rights movement, looking at the economic issues and social issues. And that's been part of my role here, is to realign ourselves, to reinvigorate, and to let everyone know that these are issues that impact all Americans. And that, you know, while we provide 20 services and we work with over 18,000 folks every year, we're also monitoring very closely the civil rights agenda of Arizona. And those are the fundamental rights of American citizens, undocumented or documented, to have basic access and opportunities in the areas of education, health care, workforce development, housing, immigration, and criminal justice issues.
It's 12:13. This is the Buckmaster Show. Jonathan Peck is with us. He is the president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on the economic conditions in Tucson and southern Arizona, 790-2040, 790-2040. Are you satisfied with the way things are in Tucson, as often called a low-wage town? I've been doing news in this town for almost a quarter of a century now, Jonathan, and when I got here, people said, well, Bill, this is a low-wage town, and they're still talking about it being a low-wage town.
Yeah, and I think that we need to, you know, what's the vision and the strategy?
I mean, how do we change from being a low-wage town?
I think I don't have all the answers, but I do know some of the ingredients to success.
Tell me.
One, I think it's about partnering and building stronger relations between institutions across the silos. There needs to be more fundamental relationships between government, community, and business. That has always been the sort of the axis of our stool that has made us great as a country. When those three entities, government, business, and community, work closer together to create on-the-ground practical projects and solutions and partnerships where all three entities can benefit, I think you'll begin to see some progress made. Once we decide not to establish that collaboration and we don't have that in place, that's when we run into some troubled waters. I think that's one issue. I think another issue is making sure that no matter what happens, the basic needs of our most vulnerable citizens are addressed. We can have all the different ideological viewpoints and perspectives, but what makes this country great is that we take care of our own, we take care of our neighbors, and we are seeing a huge increase of individuals coming into our doors that need basic necessities, shoes, clothing, diapers, food. These are the basic things that that the lines are growing.
And the lines are growing here in Tucson, people needing basic necessities just to get by with their daily life in Tucson. We're going to take a break here in a second, and we're going to come back with Jonathan Pack. And I want Jonathan to tell a little bit about his own personal story, which is really amazing. And we're going to hear a little bit more from him. And we do like you to join in. If you've got perhaps an economic issue that you'd like to bring to the table, now's the time, 790-2040. Stay with us on The Buckmaster Show. It's the Thursday edition on the home of The Buckmaster Show, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, KVOI, The Voice.
As it was meant to be, at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. It is the Thursday edition, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We're delighted to have Jonathan Peck with us. Jonathan's president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. Jonathan came to Tucson in January of 2010. He'd been in Chicago for 17 years. Jonathan has an incredibly, beyond interesting. Tell me a little bit about your background. Where were you born?
I was born in Vietnam in 1970.
Just outside an American air base.
Yep, Ben Hoa. Mm-hmm. And my biological father was a soldier in the army. And my mother was Vietnamese, and then I'm Black Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. And I think an interesting note is that particularly in terms of Amerasian children, they were targeted for extinction because we did reflect sort of the policies of the United States invading Vietnam. So Black Vietnamese children had a higher infant mortality death rate than other Vietnamese biracial children, American children, you know, either Vietnamese and white or Vietnamese and something else.
And then 1973?
And then I was adopted. I grew up for 3 years on the Toam orphanage run by Sister Mary and Old Sisters. And then I was adopted as part of the movement to bring in children from the war. And my parents were civil rights activists, Robert Peck and Jane Carey Chapman Peck. And they adopted me in 73. And they were very active in the civil rights movement, the women's movement, and international movements for justice and peace.
Tell me about, since you've been in Tucson, what are you doing personally and what you're trying to do with this campaign, I Am Empowered? What's the basis of the campaign, I Am Empowered?
The fundamental root of this campaign is to say that every single individual can be empowered to transform their lives and the lives of others. And we are specifically focusing on 6 goal areas to be achieved by 2025. We believe that every American child is ready for college, work, and life by 2025. We believe that every American has access to jobs with living wage and good benefits by the year 2025. We believe that we should strive for that every American lives in safe, decent, affordable, and energy-efficient housing on fair terms. We also believe that every American should have access to quality and affordable health care. Those are the 4 national goals that we've adopted from the National Urban League, and that we believe exists here in Tucson. We also, over the last year and a half, had a series of roundtables, discussions, charity events. We engaged with over 2,000 folks, local people, around these issues.
And what stories are they telling you, these people?
Well, I mean, it's the basic narrative of struggle, of ordinary Americans struggling to provide for their families and their children, and to try to build something for a better future. Some basic things. We gave Christmas trees away in partnership with Home Depot, and they provided us with free Christmas trees. And, you know, a mother walks up with three or four children in tears. She just wanted to have her children have a Christmas tree. These are basic things, basic necessity issues, utility assistance. Everybody is struggling. And we at the Urban League, if you look at who comes to the Urban League, Black, white, Latino, Asian, multi-religious,
this is
young
not
and
just
old.
About blacks.
It is across the board. It is incredibly across the board in terms of the need, in terms of the need of the utility assistance, rental assistance, basic needs. The other thing about our campaign that we're focused on is we did add two other local goals that speak to some of the issues that we're addressing here in Tucson. And that was a goal around criminal and juvenile justice. We are working with other organizations and with the courts to look at the issues of racial disparities among youth of color inside the criminal and juvenile justice system. And we added the goal around immigration. 40% of my base, constituent base, are Latinos. It is an issue. It is an issue that we cannot ignore. We need to figure out how to address it in a civilized way and get to some solutions. We believe at the Urban League that every human being has rights. We believe the goal of that undocumented and documented Americans should have at least access to the basic Bill of Rights in the United States Constitution. Excuse me. What we do know is that we have a lot of children coming into our centers who are undocumented, who can't get a service. These are children. They're walking in. They need food, clothing. They need help and education. And given the sort of the laws that are in place, it's very difficult for us to service them. It's actually become a misdemeanor to service them in terms of the resources that we have. And that was very shocking to me that at some point in time, I can't help an 8-year-old child walking in the door who needs help. That's not the American story. That's not our narrative. Our narrative is about, you know, the struggles that we've all come from into one part of this country, into the terms of the United States of America. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different parts of the world. What happened to our ability to connect with the stories and the narrative? And then from there, can we come up with the effective solutions to make sure that people, ordinary people, get the resources they need? It's not a Republican thing. It's not a blue state thing. It's not a red state thing. This is not a Democratic issue. This is supposed to be an American story of Americans helping Americans, supporting the most vulnerable, our children, youth, and families that need the assistance and the resources so that they can move onto a path of being empowered to transform their own lives.
These are people who need, as you said before, you've got people coming in that really need the basics.
Yeah. We are not talking about some major onslaught of people taking over resources. We're just talking about ordinary folks. You come to my doors and you talk to these people. They need help. I've been taught you help your fellow citizen. That's what my parents taught me. No matter what happens, can you help your fellow neighbor? You're supposed to be there for them. That's sort of my code of ethics. Being adopted, coming out of a war, and growing up the way I grew up, that was always installed in me. You've got to make sure that no matter what you do, you're out there to help other people who are less fortunate than you, to help them get the resources so that they can change their lives. It's a basic creed of our country.
It's become too much of a political issue, really. The whole issue of being a service-oriented person caring about your neighbor. It's become political.
It really has, and that's shocking to me. And I will say, I think you asked me a question about what shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I think even here in Tucson, given the history of this being an incredible charitable city, that sort of...
And a diverse city.
Diverse by all imaginations. The level of inequity is just too much. We have to struggle with this. We are no longer a smaller town. We're a mid-city. We see the demographic change in the entire country. We need to know where do we want to be in 2040, in 2025. Do we want to exist with very, very poor people in the city and very, very rich people? I don't know if we want that. I don't think anybody wants that. So we got to figure this out. No one's going to come to our rescue. We've got to come together as Tucsonans, ask the hard questions, be intentional about engaging with each other at all levels of leadership, and then come out with practical solutions. Because people are watching us. People are watching my position, your position. People are watching us, and they're going to judge us for what we do. And I guarantee you, my 10-month, 11-month-old baby, when he turns 15 in 2025, he's going to know his father gave it his all to help those less fortunate. That's my goal. That's the goal of the Urban League. We want to make sure that those 18,000 folks that come through our door get the resources they need so that they can live productive lives in Tucson. The I Am Empowered campaign is about being empowered to make a difference. Every individual, no matter how young you are, how old you are, I don't care what race or ethnicity, religious background, class background, if you believe that now is the time to step up and to help the fellow Tucsonan, to help your fellow neighbor, come to the Urban League, we're going to make it happen.
Thank you very much. Jonathan Peck has been with us. And if you want more information about the Urban League, TucsonUrbanLeague.com, TucsonUrbanLeague.com for more. Jonathan, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you for having me.
It's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk with Robin Hoover next. Call us at 790-2040. We'll be back in a moment. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Government leaders along another stretch of North Carolina's coast are telling visitors and some residents to leave before Hurricane Irene arrives. Carteret County officials ordered a mandatory evacuation for all visitors and non-residents starting at 1 p.m. The Rocky Mountain states are dealing with more than a dozen wildfires, and forecasts suggest that fire crews are facing a huge challenge. A Tripoli neighborhood where one of Muammar Gaddafi's sons was rumored to be hiding out has been the scene of a fierce battle today between Libyan rebels and Gaddafi supporters. Updating the Wall Street numbers, the Dow is down about 135 points at 11,186. The NASDAQ is off 39. The S&P trading 14 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Folks listening to the Buckmaster Show, really from one end of Southern Arizona to the other, thanks to our simulcast partners up in Globe, up in Gila County, and down in Douglas listening to us. Well, migrant deaths along the Arizona border are down significantly this year, corresponding with a sharp drop in apprehensions by the Border Patrol. For the next half hour here on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to be talking about the border and immigration with a man who knows the area intimately. He is the Reverend Robin Hoover, the founder and first president of Humane Borders. Reverend Hoover, good to see you.
Good to be with you again.
Talk to me about this situation with the migrant. The headline, migrant deaths on the border dropped 38%. What's the real story?
The migrant deaths in absolute numbers are down significantly, and it's a very welcome development. There's a lot behind that statistic. We have far fewer persons actually attempting to cross. We probably have a fairly significant increase in the percentage of persons who attempt to cross that are actually being apprehended. So there are a number of things there. One of the really big statistics we need to look at is that the Mexican economy is actually growing at 4.8% right now. It's quite a bit different from the U.S. economy. So,
that's the first I've heard of this. The Mexican economy is growing,
and it's been that way for more than a year and a half
along the border and the maquiladoras.
The entire economy of Mexico is generating lots of jobs right now. Part of it is federal stimulus dollars. I lived in Mexico for a month, a year and a half ago, and the Mexican federal stimulus actually put people to replace that piece of concrete in the sidewalk and stucco that wall, and they put a lot of people to work.
So Mexico's economy is playing a factor in this. Any other reasons that you can think of why the migrant deaths are down so significantly this year?
Well, just far fewer persons coming. The thing that has to be put as counterposed to that is that the migrant death rate is up dramatically. And there are a number of things that are correlated with that. Over the last decade, we've increased agents, increased the number of National Guards persons, sensors, technologies, fencing, just all kinds of things. And so the ultimate result is that we have people in more harsh terrain for longer periods of time, and it has that consequence. It's very predictable.
It's 12:37 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question or a comment about immigration, 790-2040, 790-2040. We're with Robin Hoover, Reverend Hoover, the founder, and he was the first president of Humane Borders. Why did you form Humane Borders, Reverend Hoover?
Humane Borders was the outgrowth of the concerns of a lot of folks in the faith-based and human rights communities in groups in Tucson in the year of 2000. Following the increase in the migrant deaths, and we wanted to do two things. Very simple. One is to reduce those numbers of deaths by providing some humanitarian assistance, and B, to advocate for policies that would remove these persons from peril. It's a very predictable thing. In 1995 or so, there were no really known migrant deaths. The few that were out here were traffic accidents in the urban areas and so forth. So this is a new phenomenon. It came as a result of Operation Gatekeeper. It was a policy choice. The policy choice could be undone. Obviously, it has not been undone. And the architect of Operation Gatekeeper from the early 90s is now the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, so there's no change in sight.
One of your campaigns, one of your latest projects, has been it's a controversial idea,
sure,
giving out cell phone-sized GPS devices in Mexico to illegal border crosser guides. How is that going since we talked to you a few months ago?
Well, we have approximately 10 of these devices that are in circulation, so a coyote will take one of these devices with the group, and someday somebody's going to activate one of those because they need to be rescued from the desert. So these are coming across the desert, going back to Waltar, coming across the desert. The program is administered by some women who are members of the large Catholic church there in the city square in Altar.
Why did you get into this business? You're a man of faith. How did you wind up getting into the saving lives business? I mean, I guess you could say from a religious point of view, you're saving lives to begin with, fundamentally. But saving lives of, you know, border crossers.
My education formation is that of a social ethicist. That's a little complicated and rarely heard thing, but I have a Master's of Divinity in Social Ethics. I have a PhD in Political Science and Religion and Politics Theory. For 26 years, I've been working with persons that are very on the margins of life, and those are the resettlement of refugees, persons seeking political asylum, and the undocumented populations. And I've been working, like I said, for 26 years in that area. These are persons who have no advocates. And from my religious perspective, one needs to survey the landscape and find out who needs some assistance. And do one's level-headed best to provide the goods and services that are necessary to improve their lives. So it's a matter of discerning who's most marginalized. And I would, to put it in religious terms, let me just say one thing. Jesus in Matthew 25 talks about providing food and water and clothes and welcome and ministry to the sick and the imprisoned. Well, that happens to be the resume of the migrant. These folks are sick and tired and hungry and thirsty and in short-term incarceration, long-term incarceration, private prisons, federal they fit that bill. And they have no advocates in our market. Intergovernmental relations forbid certain kinds of things. And strangely, as a U.S. citizen, we get certain kinds of protections, and those protections do not go to the migrants. They're stuck in a different kind of a legal system. It's sort of reminiscent of Paul appealing to Rome, because he was a Roman citizen. He could get away with some stuff that other people couldn't get away with. So, someday we're going to figure out how to love one another.
1241, Reverend Hoover is with us on the Buckmaster Show. If you'd like to join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040. The Obama administration earlier this month said that it will allow many illegal immigrants facing deportation the chance to stay in this country and apply for a work permit while focusing on removing from the U.S. convicted criminals and those who might be a national security or public safety threat. This will mean a case-by-case review of about 300,000 illegal immigrants facing possible deportation in federal immigration courts. What do you think about that, Reverend Hoover?
Well, let me illustrate it. Sunday night, I was with some other members of the clergy in the largest shelter in Nogales, Sonora, and Casa San Juan Bosco. And it's a family-run entity that's been in business about 28 years, providing goods and services to people coming and going, basically.
That's in Nogales, Sonora?
Nogales, Sonora.
Okay.
And there was a 17-year-old Hispanic Latino male from Phoenix and his father. And so we said, what's your story? Oh, well, this is just a few days ago. So this boy gets into a schoolyard fight with another guy, and I know that never happens in schools, but he did. And he's been living here since he was 2 years old, and he's 17. He basically, his Spanish is terrible. I mean, he doesn't know the language. This guy is red, white, and blue to the core, okay? So he gets into a fight, and the Phoenix police end up getting involved, and so they figure out that he's undocumented, and so you got to call your daddy. Your daddy comes in there. Guess what? The daddy's been cleaning high schools, cleaning a high school for about a decade in Phoenix. And so now this young man is in some deep trouble. His daddy gets deported with him. The mother, the sisters, everybody is in Phoenix. Everybody has got a clean nose. The kid got in a schoolyard scrabble. That's all the entire story. I mean, the guy's kept this perfect employment record in Phoenix, and he gets deported because his son has a scrap. So I don't know about you, but I was a scrapper. So we've kind of had these stories. This law gives the discretion, if you will, to law enforcement officials to say, you know, okay, this is not the kind of guy I'm supposed to be spending my time and resources on, et cetera. And so It gives them some discretion to do things differently if they choose to do so.
This is the Buckmaster Show, and James is up first on the Buckmaster Show with the Reverend Hoover. Excuse me, I think Doug is ready to go first. Doug, we're going to go with you first. You're on with Reverend Hoover. Go ahead.
Hi, Robin. I appreciate what you're saying, and totally agree with you about, you know, also Jesus said in the Beatitudes that when you do this for the least of these, you do it unto me. So that's absolutely true. But my question involves the overall policy issue, because I think it's almost like you use that analogy of a scrap in the playground. If you had a kid that was getting injured over and over again, we keep putting Band-Aids on it, but we're not fixing why he's getting injured. And it seems to me like you've got a fundamental problem in Mexico where you've got an oligarchy and a very unfair situation down there, and then we've got the situation up here. What would you recommend as a policy fix so that we don't just keep putting Band-Aids on?
Thank you for the question. That goes to immigration reform, and I'll be in Flagstaff speaking on that at the Northern Arizona University up there just this Saturday with a major group. So, my answer has to be several sentences long here. First of all, we have to do something about the legal status of the people who are living here undocumented. We didn't get this way overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. What I'll propose is that you come in and you set before me or a judge or whoever, however you're going to do this. We have learned lessons on how to do this from the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 86. So we did one-hour interviews back in the late 80s with the person. So if we actually want to have national security and stable labor and expand rights and clean this mess up, then you come in, you tell me who you are, we find a background, I'm going to give you a 6, 8, 10-year staggered visa, whatever it is you want, and if you want to get in the citizenship line, you can, then you can kind of clean up all this stuff, and you got to show me you're getting your insurance and your medical insurance and your driver's license, and you're going to participate responsibly in our economy while you're cleaning up your mess. And that's fine and that's fair. The most distinguishing characteristic of the plans that I've offered that went all the way to the White House over the years is that sending countries like Mexico would qualify you, screen you, figure out your skills, knowledge, ability, language, etc., hook you up with employers and employment services, unions, whatever you want to do across the border before you come. Then we want to see you as an individual migrating person. And I would do this for several visas, not just for migrants. I'd do it for some other kinds of employment-based visas. See you put up, open an account, and roughly spend the amount of money that you would spend to get from Altar to Phoenix, which right now is almost $2,500. So you'd put that in there. And then 10% of your gross would be withheld for 24 months or something like that. Keep adding to that amount of money. At the end of your 2 years, you pick up your money and you go home. And if you don't, it's forfeited to law enforcement. Instead of me paying for law enforcement and coming and hemorrhaging the general fund out here in the Customs and Border Protection, the migrants themselves are going to be paying for them. It's tantamount to a bounty on your head.
It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show. James, hang with us. You're going to be next when we continue with Reverend Hoover. James has a question about scriptures and following the law. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 12:51. This is the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with the Reverend Robin Hoover, the founder and the first president of Humane Borders, and I think we are ready now to go to James. James, you're up first here. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to state, you know, first of all, that I found some interesting things that a lot of folks don't know of. The United States allows the most immigrants per capita in sheer number. We accept immigrants that don't speak our language and are poorly educated and in poor health. Other developed countries do not do that. You know, so on a moral issue, we already accept quite the number of immigrants legally. To the scripture point, there's quite much scripture about following civil law, that it is very incumbent on Christians to follow the civil law of the country that they're in. I know there's one denomination of church, they put out much of to welcome the visitor. And that's also scripture, but, you know, visitors are, by definition, someone who comes very temporarily and leaves. So, yes, welcome the visitor. But a visitor is not someone who comes and stays, you know, and becomes, you know, the member of that country. So,
well, you've listed a lot of things. If I could just respond to a couple of them. First of all, the United States is generous in its immigration policy. There's no question about that. There's 98 different kinds of visas that you can use to come by here, even if you're just stopping by in a on an airplane or something. So we are generous in that regard, but we are not as generous as other countries when it comes to AIDS and other kinds of things. When it comes to following the law, in Torah, you can actually construct a classification schema for those who come to work, those who come to stay for a short period of time, those who come as refugees. They actually had a classification schema, and so many of the persons who did come into the land of the Israelites did stay permanently.
Does that answer your question?
We had one qualification on AIDS recently. And that was the only thing. We accept people of very poor health. Other developed countries do not accept as citizens people in poor health. The United States does. And we removed that thing that was overall AIDS. That's a small, you know, number anyway, but we did remove that one issue.
Okay.
So we are a very generous country indeed.
Okay. Thank you, James, for checking in. Okay, about poor people coming in poor health?
Well, we have a situation where people are screened if they're going to become citizens. They have to provide certain kinds of things. We've made progress in public health in the United States, and I'm all for screening anybody that comes to the U.S., if you want to know the truth, even for a short-term visa. I wouldn't mind having somebody show me their shot record or whatever that is they want to do. So I have no issues about that, but I can just flat tell you from the HIV community, they will tell you that the United States is not nowhere near as generous as a number of other nations are on these particular issues, bringing in speakers from around the world to attend conferences. I mean, it's all over the Associated Press. So
790-2040, Reverend Robin Hoover is with us for the final 5 minutes of the Buckmaster Show. Reverend Hoover, each summer the United States pays tens of millions of dollars for chartered flights. We do some of them right out of Tucson International Airport to take illegal immigrants caught to Arizona, to Mexico City. And that's one issue. Then there's the whole issue about illegal immigrants who are bused. They're perhaps apprehended in Arizona. They're bused all the way to Del Rio, Texas, or some other place. So what about these policies?
It's a phenomenally expensive proposition. A tall North American person with a gun and a uniform comes in and says, do you want to get on the plane? So, yep, you get on the plane. I'm not sure if that's a perfect informed consent. The Mexican consuls through the years have questioned whether or not how willing that participation is. No one has been able to demonstrate the efficacy of that through a university kind of analysis or program evaluation. The other program that you're talking about begins actually several years ago. It comes under the Alien Transfer Exit Program, ATEP. And so what has happened there, the current goal is, over half of the apprehensions in the Customs and Border Protection take place in the Tucson sector. So what they're trying to do is to figure out ways that where you do not repatriate anybody directly to a port of entry. That will be the ultimate goal. They're still doing it today, but they don't have the other capacities built. But anyway, so we end up with situations for persons that have been adjudicated or persons that are being voluntarily returned. They're now placed in ATEP. They're bused. So mother can end up going to Laredo and daddy can end up going to Tijuana. That raises a whole new set of vulnerabilities, migrant safety and security kinds of questions that previously we've not had to deal with. These persons are not willing to tell officials here exactly who's related to whom and under what circumstances or traveling companions or whatever. And so, again, we don't have necessarily informed consent. I don't know how the Border Patrol will actually get around that, if you want to know the truth. They probably need to have somebody, some third party, come in there and ask and confirm whether or not who's related to whom. And
well, it's a mess. The Border Patrol has admitted, Reverend Hoover, that they really – well, they say they're working on a way to evaluate the program, but they really don't have any research to find out if this is doing any good. So
we have asked
this is taxpayer money here we're spending.
It is, and I've been to Washington, D.C. with the Southern Border Communities Coalition, and we've asked, help us do the research. We'll do the research for us. Share the data with us. I'm a social scientist. There are others amongst our group that could do some of this work, and we're not allowed access to it. They're not politically interested in evaluating it, in my opinion.
Why are they doing it?
Well, what they do is they say we have a theory here for assessing basically a punishment or a consequence for your behavior. You came over here. You came through our desert. We're going to move you far away from your smuggler. The theory is potentially beneficent. They say we're going to take you out of the hands of this smuggler who's abusing you. Well, I got news for you. That is a person that's providing a service for which they spent some serious dollars. And all likelihood, the person that's returned to Laredo is going to ride the bus back to Waltar or Caborca and hook up with that coyote who has agreed already to cross that person two or three times. That's part of the contract. And so they're going to go again. The problem is that guy's tired.
And right now, no deportees are bused into Arizona. I guess they figure because, more than half are already apprehended here in Arizona.
So they ship them other directions. So they're driving east and west from Tucson.
Reverend Robin Hoover, first president and founder of Humane Borders. You'll be speaking up at Northern Arizona, Flagstaff, to a group about immigration policy this weekend, correct?
Yes.
All right. Is that open to the public or no?
Oh, yes.
You want to tell it?
I absolutely don't have the details, but it's called.
Put you on the spot there.
It was called Arizona Immigration Solutions, and if you Google that, you'll find it. And it just put in Flagstaff.
Okay. Reverend Hoover, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. It's 12:59 in the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview, Steve Kasachek will be with us, Tucson City Councilman. We'll be talking about the 911 system in the city of Tucson and other things. Then, of course, then we'll have our reporters roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. So hope you'll join us for the Friday Focus and the reporters roundtable on the Buckmaster Show live noon to one tomorrow right here on KVOI. It is The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.